Well, the challenge is there. Let's just read those words that were up on the screen. It's from Titus chapter 2, if you want to follow along. God's word says, "But as for you, teach what accords with sound doctrine. Older men are to be sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith, in love, and in steadfastness. Older women likewise are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to too much wine. They are to teach what is good, and so train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind, and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. Likewise, urge the younger men to be self-controlled. Show yourself in all respects to be a model of good works, and in your teaching, show integrity, dignity, and sound speech that cannot be condemned, so that an opponent may be put to shame, having nothing evil to say about us." Thank you so much for the video. It really, in a sense, sums up what Titus is, what Paul is getting at here in his letter to Titus. And we could sum it all up with one word, and that is discipleship. And what I think is most encouraging about the video we have just watched is that these guys aren't saying, "I'm not really sure about God yet." They're not saying, "I'm not really sure if living a godly life is really what I want to do." They're saying, "I have accepted Christ. I want to live for Christ. I want to live a life that is godly. Yes, we may all end up doing different things, but we want to be godly." And they're saying to you, "Teach me. Show me how. Disciple me." Paul says to Titus that you need to teach the older men and women how they need to act, in order that then those coming after can look at them and learn how to live a godly life. When we think of young, we're not specifically thinking of children. I think it's better to think of younger and older. I was very comforted that I read during the week that when Paul referred to Timothy as older, Timothy was probably about 40. So I'm placing myself firmly in the youth category tonight. But when we look at this, we begin with the older men. I'm just going to spend a few minutes just thinking about what these kind of characteristics look like of older men and women. We begin with the older men. They're to be sober-minded or temperate. There's a consistency and a steadiness about them. They're level-headed. They're to be dignified or worthy of respect. There's to be a natural feeling of respect for older men because of who they are. The years have brought a maturity, there's a wisdom and a respect that comes from others. They are to be self-controlled. One writer sums it up, they should have the discernment, discretion, and judgment that comes from walking with God for many years. They control their physical passions and reject worldly standards and resist worldly attractions. These men, they're not given, they're not success-driven. They're not ego-driven. They're not money-driven. They have perspective. They know good choices and bad choices and have the self-control to make good choices over their words, their actions, their desires. Older men, we're told, are to be sound or healthy in faith. There is a confident trust in who God is. It's a steady trust. It's not thrown off by circumstances. Sound in love. A godly man is to be marked by love, not some type of Bear Grylls figure, but marked by love that is patience, kindness, not rude or arrogant, not irritable or resentful or self-seeking. There is an endurance or patience. He keeps going. He doesn't give up on godly living. It is who he is. It's not, "I've done my bit, and now it's over to the rest." He keeps on going. He takes up responsibility in this spiritual family. Then the older women are to be reverent, meaning fit for temple service. That is, they live in a way that honors God. It says they don't waste their time gossiping and they don't waste their time drinking too much wine. This was obviously an issue for these women that we were reading about. And in the older women, they're to teach what is good. Teaching here is very practical. It's setting an example in the everyday running of life. There's a focus here on how they live as wives and mothers. Like the men, they are told to be self-controlled. We don't have time to go into all the details of this, but what we really see is that a godly woman knows how to prioritize in her life, and she's content to do so. Now, this is not restricted to young mothers and young children, and of course, all women are not called to be wives and mothers, but to use this as an example, if women are in a stage perhaps where they have young children, they're not pining for life before, and they're not craving for the next new stage in life. And we could apply this to women in any circumstance. They're not craving for this or that. There's a contentment just to serve God where she is at. They're not caught up and over-obsessed with fashion or image or comparison. Perhaps if life is busy, you're not constantly longing for time to yourself, although, of course, that is good and helpful. But there's good perspective. They make good priorities and are content with this. These godly lives of men and women are to back up the truth that they claim to believe. If you look down to verse 11, we read that you live like this for the grace of God, or because the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of our great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ. This way that we've been speaking about, that this way to live, it is countercultural. Culture thrives on self-indulgence and self-fulfillment through career or whatever else, and independence. But we read God's grace has appeared. That's referring to when Christ came to earth, and he came ultimately to die in our place, taking the punishment for our sin, brought salvation, and we're now waiting for him to return. And it's because you're assured that Christ has appeared and he will return again that there is a confident hope and trust that allows you to live distinctly different, that allows you to be self-controlled, that allows you to make priorities different from this world, and it allows you to look out for others and also look to others. And the expectation here is that there's really a natural way of going here, that as you live godly lives, those younger can look at you and see how to do that and naturally just follow on. If you think of just any biological family, it's uncanny sometimes how much children copy you. And that's what we want here in this family of faith and this spiritual family. There's a natural connection between us because we are joined in Christ. We are spiritual family. There's a love and respect for each other. And in turn, we just simply want to be able to copy each other's godly living. As Chris has said, much of what we are doing in YF this year surrounds identity. And essentially what those younger need to see is that those who are older live lives that are content and that they take satisfaction and joy in Christ more than anything or anyone else. And when that is witnessed and when that is realized, then, to go back to the video, they will not be so caught up with image. Or I should say we. They will not be so hungry for approval. They will know how to deal with hurts. They won't crave momentary happiness in things. Because they can look at older men and older women who have done this before and see a faith that has been steady, that has been constant, and that has stood the test of time. This is not to say that the older men and women have not had or do not currently have the temptations and struggles that youth are facing. But when those younger look to those older than them, they can see that ultimately their greatest joy and peace and satisfaction has been in Christ, and that has a greater pull on their life than any other pull. It's a challenge. Youth, and I include myself in that, be willing to learn from those older and wiser than you. Older men, older women, you are all our full-time youth workers. Older men, set an example and make it easy for younger men to approach you when they need to. And older women, set an example and make it easy for younger women to approach you when they need to. May God help you in this role, and may God help us all as we strive together, waiting for the appearance of our great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ.